spiritual life is your responsibility. It's not someone else's responsibility. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for raising your children, but mainly you're responsible for you. You're the only one that you can change. And when Jesus began teaching on this parable, when he said, listen, you know what the Jewish mind heard? Shema, which means listen and obey. He began it with listen, and he ended it with listen. Listen to this. Shema, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, Shema. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and obey. So this gave the Jewish mind insight to the Shema. How do I love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind? And it is by keeping the Word in your heart, preparing your heart for the Word. Because this four souls is a snapshot of your heart. You are capable of producing all kinds of this soil. In fact, in your lifetime, you have been probably all kinds of this soil. You have been the hard ground. You have been the shallow ground. Maybe you have been the thorny ground. Maybe you've even been the good ground at one time in your life. And as Christians, many times we go through phases of our life that we're better ground than we are at other times. The first week we talked about the hard ground. And basically in the hard ground, here's the statement, I harden my heart. God has given us the ability to harden our hearts. We choose what we let into our hearts. And there are many things in life that can cause our hearts to become hard. But listen, you're responsible for the condition of your heart. You're responsible where you are. And, you know, there are some things you need to harden your heart about. There are some things that you do not need to allow in your heart, because whatever you put in your heart, whatever you put in your heart, whether it's good or bad, your heart will produce it. So it's up to you to harden your heart to some things and to soften your heart to other things. But there's a lot of people, when they hear the word of the kingdom, they harden their hearts. The seed, which is the word of God, is designed to produce the kingdom in us. God is not going to produce the kingdom in us. It's sowing God's word in our heart that produces His kingdom in us. And God doesn't determine how much we walk in it. We determine how much we walk in it. God, it's God's pleasure, the Bible says. It's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. In fact, it says the kingdom of God is within you. But guess what? It's a seed. It has to grow. It has to grow in you. And you determine to what degree it grows. We need to become grounded as Christians. Amen? We need to become grounded as Christians. The next week we talked about the rocky ground. And basically the summation of this is that I refuse to deal with character issues. When we have character issues in our life that we do not deal with, and we talked about, what, 9 different things, character, and there's more than that. That was just 9 that we talked about. But when there are character issues in our lives that we refuse to deal with, that determines and chokes out and causes the Word of God not to produce fruit in our lives. So, it's more than just hearing the Word of God. It's allowing the Word of God to go into our hearts to challenge us in the areas of our lives, of our character that needs to be challenged. Now, we say this all the time. God loves you where you are, but He loves you too much to leave you where you are. And when we will open our hearts to the Word of God, and we are willing to examine our lives. You know, I said all the time to our CR folks that when most people drop out of CR and step study, it's step four. And step four says, I'm going to make a searching, fearless, moral inventory of my life. And we don't like to look at ourselves. I'd rather look at you. I'd rather judge you. I don't want to judge me. I don't want to look at my character issues. But to the degree that I refuse to look at my own life, it severely limits what I can produce where the kingdom of God is concerned in me. So guess what? We've got to plow deep, don't we? We got to break through the crust, and we got to get down to where the good soil is. Now today we're going to talk about the thorny soil. The thorny soil. Look with me, if you would, in verse 18 of Mark 4. Jesus is explaining this parable. He wants them to understand because this is one of the major keys to the kingdom. In fact, of all of the parables, this is probably the most important to understanding how the kingdom operates. If you don't get this, and Jesus said this, it's if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all parables? How are you going to understand the things of God? It's seed time and harvest is what it is. Okay. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. They do what? This is what they all have in common. They all hear the word. They hear the word. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer of the word that's blessed in his deed. Okay? They hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in, choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Everybody say fruitless. Fruitless. It becomes fruitless. It does not produce what it's designed to do. The word of God is designed to produce fruit. The seed is the image of the harvest. But it's not a guarantee that it'll grow unless the soil is right, unless the heart is right. Now, there's two main categories of distractions which alienate us from Christ. And these two are, number one, fear, and the other one is lust. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, fear and lust. Now, you don't hardly ever see those together. We don't think of fear and lust of having any connection. But evidently they do. These two things will keep the Word of God from producing in your heart. Fear and lust. Now, lust is not exactly what you think it might be, but it might include what you're thinking about. When we're talking about these areas, We may be talking about our families, our job, our health, our lives. But you know, in all of these things, from God's perspective, there's really not a reason for us to worry about these things. Now, when we say worry, anxiety, care, basically we're saying fear. Fear. Let me guarantee you something about all of us. We all face fears in life. We all deal with fear. It's how you deal with fear and how you're willing to deal with fear that determines your success. As a Christian, and really, it determines your success in anything that you do in life. If you're not willing to face fear and conquer fear, you're going to accomplish very little in life. I am firmly convinced that there's a lot of people who are not successful in things that they know that they're supposed to be doing because they're afraid to step out. They're afraid that they might fail. And guess what? Because they never tried, they failed. They don't have a chance of success because fear paralyzes them and keeps them from doing what they're supposed to do. Now, let's take a look at these quickly. There's some scriptures that I want to share with you. And the first one is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, the Message Bible, different translations, so it's kind of hard for you to follow me. But this is in the Amplified Bible. And it says this. And this is talking about fear. Fear. Fear chokes the word. You know the thing about the thorny ground? That it has the capability of producing? It does. Because it's not shallow and it's not hard. It has the capability of producing, but it is so distracted. It's the distracted heart. It's the divided heart. It's the heart that can't focus. And it can't focus because of two things, fear and lust. And here's what God said in Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. Here's what he says. Do not worry about your life. Your life. Don't be worried about your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on, is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Does God care about our life? Does God care about our daily life? Why are we so anxious about life? Why are we so anxious about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, how we're going to pay our bills? Why are we so anxious about that? It is a reflection. Let me tell you what it is. It's a reflection of the heart. It's a reflection of the heart. That it comes in to be a trust issue. The opposite of fear is what? Faith. The opposite of faith is what? Fear. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. And when we begin to... And we all have pressures. We all have things that come against us. But guess what? If we don't guard our hearts, Proverbs says above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. If all that's in there is fear, guess what? It's not going to produce like it should. It's going to be paralyzed. It's going to be crippled. It's going to be going through all of those things. Here it is in the same scripture. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more than birds. In fact, it goes on to say, if we will seek first the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, he was talking about a key to the kingdom. If we seek first the kingdom of God, it says that all of these things that we are concerned about will be added to us. If we put it first. That means that I need to make sure that my heart is the kind of ground that when the seed comes on, it's going to produce the crop. I cannot be caught up in fear on how I'm going to do everything that I'm supposed to do in my life. You do not have all the answers for life. Let's just settle that. There are no gurus. There are no people who have all the answers of life. You live life one day at a time. You learn to live a principled life. You learn to live it. You learn to meet the challenges. And you learn to trust in God. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh yeah, but you don't know my worries. You don't know my problems. God does. I don't have to know. I don't want to know your problems. God knows your problems. God knows your cares. God knows those things. And listen, His Word is sufficient. His kingdom, His provision is way more sufficient than any problem that you might have or that you might be willing to face. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, fear and worry is going to confront you all the way through your life. You're always going to look at fear. Not that it's going to be in you, but it's going to be out here. You're going to have chances to fear all the days of your life. The thing that you've got to learn to do is not allow it to control what you do. When fear controls you, you're not controlled by faith. You're not controlled by the Spirit of God. You're not being led by the Spirit of God when fear controls your life. Okay. Let's... The cares of the world can cause some stuff. Number one, it can cause us to be unprepared. It can cause us to be unprepared. Luke 24:31-34 says this, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will not come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray." You don't want fear to allow you to be caught unaware. You know, the Lord's coming back someday. When? I don't know. But the Bible says we need to be prepared. If you get in fear and you get in worry and you get caught up into all of this, you know where that leads you to? That doesn't lead you to a higher life. It leads you to a baser life. It's talking about carousing and you know, what's the use? Eat, drink, and marry, be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. Let's live life to the fullest. Let's enjoy this life because, you know, that's a fear-driven life. We need a faith-driven life. We need one that has purpose. We need one that has principle. We need one that has a positive hope out in front of us because God has got a positive end in mind for us. And we need to keep on the beam. We don't need to allow fear to cause us to be unprepared. We need to be in a place that we're always looking, watching. And the only thing that I know that can keep us focused is a habitual, everybody say habitual, not an occasional, but an habitual habit, same word, of putting the Word in your heart. Putting the Word in your heart. You say, that you talk about that a whole lot. Folks, that is the key to life. That's the key to staying focused. That's the key of staying in love with God. That's the key of not straying. Is you put the Word in there. You think on it. You meditate on it. Next week we're going to start talking about the good ground. We're going to see some things that God says about how to keep make our hearts good ground. But if when we're so caught up with fear and anxiety and worry and, oh, my life is in a mess and what am I going to do? And what we need to do is be putting the Word in there. Because the Word is the only thing that can change your circumstances and your situations. So don't be unprepared. There's an evil in cares and anxiety is that they can detract your mind from what's truly important. When you're in fear, when you're in anxiety, when you're in this mindset, you're not thinking about what you need to be thinking about. Fear paints a picture of the worst case scenario. The Scripture paints the picture of the answer. And when fear is bigger in you than the Word is in you, you're always seeing the worst case scenario. And it's so easy to do that. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have an answer, you were fearful about something, and all of a sudden this movie starts playing in your mind? Sometimes you need to shut the projector off. Maybe you have a health challenge. And I had this one time. I had a health challenge one time. And I sat in a chair one day in a mindless stupor and saw my funeral. That was back in early 90s. Guess what? I'm still here. I'm glad I didn't watch that movie and watch that movie and watch that movie. I might not be here today if I kept watching that movie. But it was driven by fear. It was driven by the unknown. We don't need to be driven by those things, by fear and the unknown. We need to be driven by principle. We need to be driven by the Word of God. And when we can do that, we're not going to be distracted in our minds from what's truly important. Luke 12:29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor be anxious, an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. You know, when you pray and you ask for stuff, God already knows that you need that stuff. You're not telling God something that He don't know. In fact, I've got news for you. There's not anything that you can tell God that He doesn't already know. And I see people, oh God, can't you see? And they go this through this. God already knows that. You're wasting time. You're wasting words. You're wasting breath. Telling God the problem. God doesn't need to hear the problem. He already knows what you need. But it goes on to say, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. We're not supposed to seek stuff. We're supposed to seek Him. We're supposed to seek His kingdom. We're supposed to seek His interest. And as we begin to do that, it's amazing how you get your mind off of you. You know, you can tell a selfish person because they're always talking about me, my problems, my lumbago, my this, my that, my. It just seems like my, and it's all me-centered. Now, they're not that way on purpose, and they don't even realize they're that way. But if we can get our mind off of ourselves, over onto Him, over onto His purposes, doing what we need to be doing, guess what? It's amazing how that other stuff begins to fade and God begins to open doors and take care of what we need. Let's talk real quick about the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Now, this is not a message to rich people. This is not a message to rich people. Rich people are not the only ones deceived by riches. Most everybody has had this dream, especially now that we have a lottery in Arkansas. What if I could win the Powerball? And I won that, how many million? 25 million, 200 million. Da da da, boy, what would I? And we sit and we dream about that. And or we dream, boy, if I had what so and so had, or I'm working so that I can be rich and I can do this and I can do that. You know, I have a question for you. What are you doing with what you have? How are you handling what you have? Getting more, the key to getting more is to be a good steward of what you already have. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, you know what, if I made that much money, I couldn't afford to pay my tithe. He still don't make that much money. Because he couldn't afford to pay his tithe if he made that much money. He was kidding, but there's that mindset. Or somebody said, you know what, I would give if I had... Well, start giving where you're at. Start looking for ways to give where you're at. Don't be deceived by riches. And one of the things is that wealth is going to make me happy. Now, I got to thinking one time about land. If I was rich, I'd buy property. And I'm thinking, how much land would I want? And I'm thinking, okay, I'd want whatever touch my land. In other words, I would never be satisfied with what I had. I'd always want what touches it. And that's one of the deceitfulness of riches. You know, that more is better. You know, God was able to do much with little. Now, God doesn't care if you're rich. It's not a sin to be rich. But it says that we don't need to be deceived by these riches. Okay, here's the dangers that the Bible talks about that's described to riches. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. But those who desire to be rich, it didn't say those who are rich, it says those who desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Again, the evil and riches lay in diverting our attention. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, really the mindset of most people is that the first thing that I would do if I got rich, I'd quit my job. I'd just quit my job. And I would just live off my riches. You know, there's a parable in the New Testament that this guy, this farmer one year, and he has this bumper crop. I mean, he had one of those uber crops. I mean, a big harvest. And he got to looking at his harvest, and he says, you know what? I don't have enough barns to hold my crop. What am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. Was there anything wrong with building bigger barns? He needs to be a good steward. And I'll build bigger barns, and I'll store up many goods for many days. And then I shall say to myself, self, take thine ease. Guess what? He's being distracted by his riches. He is shifting his trust from God to his substance. And this is one of the things that deceives us about riches. Because no matter where we are on the financial, social scheme, we always need to be in a place where we believe God and live by faith. And not transfer the faith that we're supposed to have in God in the riches and what they can do for us. Because riches can go away. Ask some of these guys who are millionaires and billionaires. I mean, some of them have gone broke several times, but they're smart enough, they know how to reproduce what they lost. They don't trust in their riches. Riches can be fleeting. And if we trust in riches, when the riches are gone, then we're bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. Because our trust is supposed to be in God. All right. Then the Bible talks about the pleasures of life. Wow. It says those involving the flesh divert their minds. Again, Galatians 5:17. See how much of this is about the diversion of the mind? The diversion of the mind where we let our minds drift away from what it's supposed to be. See, Jesus said the key to loving the Lord is Shema. Is giving yourself to this, meditating on this, thinking on this, but these other things cause the mind to wander. Galatians 5:17. And this is talking about the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, sowing to the flesh makes it impossible to reap from the Spirit. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Now, let's sum it up. So what do we need to do? Our mind needs to be on loving God first. And that's in everything. If this is not right, if God is not first place in our life, guess what else is not going to be right? Your relationships are not going to be right. Your family life is not going to be right. Your friendships are not going to be right. It's not going to be right in your vocation. It's not going to be right in your ministry. It's not going to be right economically in the way that you spend, give, save, invest. Physically, it's not going to be all right. See, the 3 John 2 principle says this. It says, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Success is from the inside out. And when we prosper on the inside, spiritually, guess what? It affects everything else in our lives. Sometimes we get it backwards because we get to looking and diverted by what's out here, the goals that are out here. But when we put the Word in there and we allow the Word to do the work that it's supposed to do, it gets the weeds out. Sometimes we need to weed our garden. Sometimes we need to go back and refocus on the things that we need to focus on, because we allow the cares of this life to get us out of focus. You can get so strung out doing good stuff that you can just miss God. I can get so busy serving God that my life becomes a spiritual empty shell, and I do everything out of habit and not out of a rich relationship with God. Christianity is not a mindless religion. It is a very thoughtful, deep, thinking, focusing relationship with God. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you today, Father. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the power of your Word. Thank you that your Word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. And Lord God, today I thank you that your Word has pierced and penetrated hearts of men. Thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Bow your heads for just a moment. You know, as we're ministering this message, my challenge to you is, which kind of soil are you? Where are you with God? How important is Christian living to you? Is it just a convenience? Or is it the main thing? Are you easily distracted? Do you harden your heart to some things? Are you shallow because of character issues? You know, sometimes we need to refocus. Sometimes we need to realize where we are. And we need to refocus. Let me use another word. Repent. We need to change our mind. We need to change the way that we think about certain things. You know, you may be here today. I don't know. I don't know your spiritual condition. I don't know everybody's life. But you may be here today and you don't even have a relationship with God. And you'd like to have a relationship with God today. I'm willing to pray a prayer here in just a moment. Not going to ask you to get out of your seat. Not going to ask you to come to the front. Not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. But a relationship with God begins with a commitment to Him. It doesn't end there. It begins there. It's very easy to get people to pray a prayer of repentance and ask Jesus into their heart. It's a whole other thing to get them to take the step of becoming a fully committed follower of Jesus. Today what I'm talking about is the first step. Not the last step, but the first step in that relationship. But if you're here today and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God, but you would like one, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to get up. We're just going to pray a prayer. We'll all pray it together. I don't have a relationship with God today, but I need one. I need to be saved. Is there anybody? Anybody in the congregation? We want to give that opportunity. Let me ask you something else then. Maybe you are a Christian, and we're not going to pray a prayer. I just want to I just want to know that this is penetrating hearts. Maybe you see some areas of your life that are out of focus, and you need to refocus your life today. Can I see your hand? The Spirit of God, yeah, okay. Spirit of God has spoken to some people today that my life's out of focus, and I got to refocus. I got to get some things right. Okay, praise God. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray a quick prayer, and then Joe's going to come. Father, thank you that for the power of your word. And Lord, by the raising of the hand and the acknowledging that the need, I pray that your Spirit would work on their hearts and that you would speak again this word into their lives. Lord, whether they took notes or whether they go to the website and listen to the message again or where the power of the Holy Spirit speaks to them again. But Lord, I pray that you would continue to minister this to them until they get these issues settled in their life. Thank you that you're quick to forgive us. But Lord, forgiveness just opens a door for new action. And we thank you for that and praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.